Well, hello, internet friends near and far. Welcome to another episode of Parks and Conversation. This is a podcast where we watch an episode of Parks and Recreation, and then we talk about it. And this is the we here in this group is myself. I'm Jason, and I'm joined by my friend Jeremy. Hello, Jeremy.
How do you say, how's it going?
Good. Yeah, good. Thank you.
How do you say?
Today we're going to, record a podcast?
Don't pretend you don't know what a podcast is.
Oh, you were on to me. Today we're watching, we're talking about season six, episode 19, Flu season two, Legend of Curly's Gold.
Electric Boogaloo.
Jaws Revenge.
The Happening. Me. The Revengening.
The Revengening. Yes.
Two flu, two season.
Two seasonous. You know, I saw the trailer for the next Fast and the Furious movie, and I have to say, I still don't want to watch it.
Are they back? Did they get back from space?
I guess. I don't know. I just feel like it's irresponsible.
At what point are they just going to be in the same world as like in like Avatar or crossover into the Avengers Marvel universe or something?
Who owns it? I think it's owned by Paramount.
Have a Fast and the Furious multiverse?
Please. I would love that so much. I would love if Fast and the Furious somehow merge, if it's all owned by Paramount, this would be so wonderful. If it merged with the opening of the J.J. Abrams scene where we are first introduced to young Kirk as he's driving, listening to Sabotage, and like, yes, that would be like so excellent. And then like they're like fast forward to the Next Generation, and Vin Diesel is Picard, like a young Picard, and he's getting his crew together. And he's like,
it's all about family.
You're my family. Which was kind of the whole point of this latest season of Picard. So, I mean, we're so close.
Right there.
It would be so wonderful. So, yeah, I know we have tons of, film executives banning this. So that's why we're talking about it early, before we actually talk about the actual episode, in case they're listening to this. Go ahead, make that movie. Make that Fast and the Furious verse.
Give the writers something to do and pay them while you're at it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I appreciate all of the writers, especially the writers of this episode, because it's so funny. I love this episode. Jeremy, what did you think about this particular episode?
I absolutely forgot what this episode was about, other than it was just flu season two. I was trying to think what the flu. And then once it started, and then every storyline made me laugh before, like I instantly remembered the storyline, which just made me laugh. Mm-hmm. And so then getting into each of those stories, it was just an absolute treat. I really, really enjoyed this episode. I think we were talking before. I think it's would you say 8.3 on IMDb? I think it could be a little bit higher than that, but it's definitely over 8, which makes me happy. I don't know why that's the threshold of like, this is a good episode. I thought it was better than the previous best of Anne and Chris. Well, I guess 8.5 is the very first episode. There's London part 1 and 2. And then there was Anne and Chris at 8.8. So I know this isn't a IMDb review, but you know, let's bump it up.
Guys. It could be.
Yeah.
Who reviews? There are no rules here.
The reviewers? You know what I mean?
Like, exactly. Who watches the watchers?
Exactly. Yeah.
I think this episode, where this episode stands apart from those other, like the first episode of the season and Anne and Chris, like this is not about trying to make you have an emotion or like nostalgia. It's literally just, this is hilarious.
Yes.
And that's why it is so refreshing, because it does feel like the last several episodes have been a little too heavy. And so this one is just so funny.
Well, and they get out of they kind of get out of the office a little bit. You know, we're mm-hmm. at a winery. We're out in a field. Ben's walking around. So, there's a change. There's a nice change of pace.
And drunk Ben is the best Ben.
Like, come on.
He's so great. There's also some really awesome edits in this episode that are, I think, if you're just watching it, it's great. But there's like there's transitions where like one character is yelling and the next cut is another character yelling. Those kinds of things where there's like a continuity of what's going on and transitions. It's so good. Like you could do a swipe, like they just do like hard cuts, right? But you could do a swipe like Star Wars style and it would be just another person yelling. Like, it's so great. I love it. There's so many good things. And we get Ron Dunn.
Yes. So I was just going to say, there's a lot of like small jokes, especially with Ben, like drunk Ben, you know? I was just telling Ron that my dog's Jewish. Like that was one of that. I laughed so hard at that because it was such a throwaway line. We're looking at a phone in a puddle when it plays. And so if you're not paying attention, if you're not listening, really, oh my gosh. I love this episode.
Just telling my dog's Jewish. So good. So good. Oh man. So, well, you know, Jeremy, let's get into it. Let's talk about this thing. So there's three main lines that we're going to follow. We have Andy and Leslie working on some challenges with the Unity concert. And then we have Tom trying to get a sommelier for Tom's Bistro. And then we have Ben and Ron processing Ben's problems and Ron not processing Ben's problems. but also Ron is the voice of wisdom, as he so regularly is, and he is a good, reasonable person, but not a reasonablest. That's a different group. Hail Zorp. So let's jump in. Let's just talk about Andy and Leslie's plot line. And it really does give us the whole reason for flu season two. As Andy is on the phone and he's trying to coordinate some things, and then he sneezes like a million times. And I don't know if that is part of like Chris Pratt getting fit, like over the last couple of seasons, getting ready for being Star-Lord. But like one sneeze like that, like my head would hurt. So I don't know how he got so strong.
Neck muscle exercises.
But it is full body convulsion sneezes, which is impressive. And then he stops and then he goes again. It's just amazing. And Leslie is freaking out because she can't get sick and it's flu season again and everybody's sick and and they've quarantined Larry and he's like in this like plastic booth around his desk. And he tries to talk to them through the thing. He's like, can I just go home? And Leslie, the tent is now your home, Larry. We already forwarded your mail. So I don't understand that at all. Like why Leslie had him there, but that's where he is. But Andy has some good news as all of this illness is coming about is they have secured Chip McCapp to headline the Unity concert. This is a made up name played by a real celebrity. But he is a 17-year-old country singer. He has a song called Beautiful Like My Mom, parentheses, support the troops. It is just so perfectly awful and the lyrics, she don't care about no fancy trends. She's just a mom from Old South Bend. Then he looks at the camera like, get home safe, boys. Thank you for protecting our freedom.
And the best is, and then he's just walking away down the road because it's part of the music video that they're watching. Yeah. And he like tips his cap, but then just barely looks over his shoulder with the upside down guitar over. It's so on point.
Yeah. I mean, it is truly amazing. The the satire of all of the country music tropes. Like, all these guys love their moms and want to marry their moms, but also the troops are great.
Well, and give them the freedom to do that, I guess. The troops are great too.
I'm a big fan of the troops. Not like Ryan from The Office, both sides. But like, I like our troops. Like, I'm nothing against them, but there is a heavy emphasis on the troops in American country music that is like, well, why? And why so much about your mom?
Who's the comedian that was it Gaffigan or that? Oh no, it was Mike Birbiglia. Like, I appreciate our troops because I would make a terrible troop. Like, you don't want me being that. You don't want me protecting the country. So, you know, and I feel that. Like, you guys are doing the work.
Yeah, yeah. So thank you, the troops. Get home safe. Tip my hat. The story continues. There's no way out of what we just did. So we have to just keep moving.
Except just go, you know, find a claw machine and try to get some animals from army.
Okay.
Anyway.
The that's gorilla is for sand racing.
You just make it more awkward.
Make it about a different show altogether.
Absolutely.
These are my awards, mother, from army. Buster. Okay, so now they're Leslie and Andy are talking about how excited they are to have Chip McCapp as their headliner, and they're looking at Andy's awesome list of like his wish list, and Leslie's like, those are long shots. Bob Dylan's friend on the list is like the Beatles as like a band he would like to come play, but then one of them is Bob Dylan.
Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, Bob Dylan's friends. And Andy's like, well, I just thought maybe they could get Bob Dylan to come.
So instead of putting Bob Dylan up there, they're like, there's no way he'll say yes. But if we get his friends on board.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe Bob Dylan is like Bill Murray. Like, you don't know what he's going to do.
Right.
Like, one day he just decides to sell all his music. Like, you can have it, man. And and like, but then I'm going to go make a Christmas album. It's like, sure. What? So Bob Dylan might show up at this thing. Who knows? And then there's another band, Land Ho, that broke up. And everybody loves them, but their last album was We'll Never Reunite. So they're donezo. But then Jerry or Larry calls out, and Les is like, no, back in your tent. And she sprays, I'm only assuming it's like Clorox at him. Sure. And, but Larry has bad news.
Hand sanitizer right in the face.
Oh my gosh. That would hurt so bad.
Oh, wait, hold on. Before you go on, did you pause and look at the board at all?
No.
Oh, there wasn't a ton of funny stuff that I got, but there's a couple things that I thought were pretty funny. One of the band's name, there's like all these activities and stuff. One of them is like Learn a Hobby Live, which I thought was pretty great. There's a florist review hour, which maybe that's a thing. I don't know, but it sounded pretty florist hilarious.
Review hour.
Yeah. I don't know. If you're a florist, do you come or do you have florists review your arrangements? I don't know.
Review florists.
Right. Oh, yeah.
For an hour.
For an hour. There's an artifact auction, which I was like. And my personal favorite was one of the band's names was Zeep Zap Zorp.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'd be playing on Friday night.
I think I've seen that band.
Yeah, I would go watch it if I haven't. Anyway, so yeah, they spray Larry.
Yeah, and Larry is bad news. Chip McCapp is canceling this show, and so she's freaking out. And Andy and Leslie are the only ones available to handle this, and so they need to operate at maximum. And then Leslie is not feeling well, and then she throws up into a waste basket. And she's very frustrated and she's mad at Larry because flu season seems to have struck Leslie Knope. And Jerry's quite sorry. So they go to the drugstore to get some Mariah Needs to Sing Tonight medicine, as as Leslie will say later. And so as they're coming into the drugstore, you know, Andy's like, are you sure you're feeling up to this? Like, and Leslie's like, no, I've worked through it before. And Andy was like, well, I guess while you get your medicine, I'll just stroll through the candy aisle, but I won't get any. like a child. And Leslie's like, you can have two candies. And he freaks out.
Two?
And he runs away. And so she talks to the pharmacist and says, I have the flu, super nauseated for a few days, a lot of barfing, total disaster. And she needs Mariah needs to sing medicine. And the pharmacist is like, you don't look like you have the flu. Could it be anything else? And Leslie then realizes that maybe it's not the flu. And over to her left, there is a pregnancy test display.
Womb, and there it is.
Yeah, there's womb, there it is. But then there's also one called midstream.
Yes.
I don't know if you got that.
I did.
I do love womb, there it is. It is the best pregnancy test name ever created by humans. And I don't know why NBC hasn't licensed that already. They would go crazy. It's a collectible, for Parks and Rec fans, but then also it's a great name. So get on that, executives. And so she buys one, and then Andy comes with a giant jar of gummy bears. And big plastic container, and he's like, this counts as one.
Yeah, because it's a giant gummy bear filled with gummy bears. It's genius.
So you would count one bag of gummy bears as one candy. He's just extrapolating that same principle.
He's not
same
wrong principle.
No, I'm totally on team Andy on this one. She did say two, so here's my theory is he bought two of those and he could only carry one at a time because they're huge. So then they go to Chip's. I have it in the wrong color. I am sorry, Andy. Please forgive me.
Andy.
Did I call you Andy?
Yeah, it's okay. It's a compliment. Yeah.
So they go to the studio, and as Leslie's coming out of the bathroom, Andy's first words are, man, you were in the bathroom forever, which is what everybody wants to hear when they come out of the bathroom.
My kids have just given up at this point. They don't even make comments anymore.
Oh, we thought you died. It smells like you died. I'm debating. I'm going to tell you a story.
You might want to give that 20, 30 minutes.
No, it'll be quick. Joss and I went to an estate sale on one of the half days that, their school district has. And so I picked her up and we went on an estate sale hunt. So we went to a couple. And the first one, it smelled like the previous owner of the estate recently died in the estate. It smelled so bad. But all their stuff was out on tables. Did they plan this? And then it was so bad. It was so bad. And it's close to my house. I drive by it every day.
So you could smell it from there.
There are times where I think I can smell it. And
it's is that a pulp mill or?
It was so bad. Anyway, that has nothing to do with anything.
Did you find anything cool?
No. I mean, there was one room that had the coolest Star Wars wallpaper. And I took a picture of that because that's free. I didn't really find anything good at that one. The next one, I found this really cool hat for the Seattle Pilots. That was a giveaway at a Mariners game. And I bought that.
Nice.
It's dope.
I found this really cool hat though.
So Andy tells Leslie that the receptionist said that they'll be able to talk to Chip in a moment, and Leslie's going to call Ben about a thing, because turns out Leslie probably pregnant. That's all the context clues that we're getting for this whole thing.
She doesn't have the flu.
No, it is not the flu. So flu season two was a ruse.
more like ruse season. Dang it, you stole my job. I've been planning that since last night.
Were you really?
I mean, you know me. I don't exactly write. So when a good one comes up, I tend to hang on to it for a while. Well, I get Jason with this one.
That's some bad news. That wasn't really a good one.
I know. That's why you said it first.
All right. So,
all right. Ruse season. Yes.
It's ruse season. All right. So then Chip McCabe is in the studio and he's writing a song. And the lyrics are, I'll bring the girls, you bring the beer, and the troops will bring the freedom.
Every time.
It's so good.
Every time. It's like Andy. Every song has to have.
Yes. Spread your wings and fly.
Spread your wings and fly, and you're a champion.
Yeah. So they introduce themselves and say they're big fans. And Chip's like, yeah, I'm very blessed. It's always nice to meet amazing fans who keep me going. You're the real superstars. And then Chip demands some lunch stacks. And the cheese has to be on top or no one gets paid. And Andy and Bet and Leslie are like, this is intense. And the guy who's in the back is like, you got it, Chip. He's in the booth. He's, Chip's like, that's my dad. Guy's such an idiot. So they're like, oh, this is not a good thing. So they're trying to get him to reconsider and be a part of the Unity concert. And he's like, sorry, I got a previous engagement. And his dad comes in, he's like, here you go, Chip. He's like, look at that. Cheese is on top of turkey. And he throws it at him. I wanted ham. So, and they're all out. And then Chip's like, well, maybe mom should be manager then. Pick him up, Skip. And Andy whispers to Leslie, this guy's the worst. I mean, it sucks that they didn't have ham. But your dad like that.
It's like, I understand, but still, man, you can't treat your dad like that.
I mean, we've all been angry. So
about ham. Yeah, I think ham is superior to turkey when it comes to lunch meats. Turkey's just it's bland. I don't know, it's just bland. Ham actually has some flavor. It's like, this is a ham sandwich. You eat a turkey sandwich, it's like, this is lettuce.
Huh. A lot to think about in what you're just saying right now. I tend to think that turkey is like a good canvas, like a good turkey, not just the cheapo stuff you buy in a bulk bag, but like you go to the deli and you get the fresh sliced turkey. It's mm-hmm. like a good canvas upon which to put all the flavors of your sandwich masterpiece.
Sure, but if you don't want to go through the process and you just want a sandwich that's tasty from the jump, get ham. It doesn't.
Why are you making a sandwich if you don't want to go through the process? This is not about mass production, Jeremy. This is about artistry.
It's about getting food into my belly quickly that tastes good.
I like ham.
Yeah.
I like ham. I like, and I'm not afraid to say it.
Well, turkey, you always have to have something with it. It's like, oh, would you like mm-hmm. a ham and turkey sandwich? Like, they don't, it's like a turkey
sandwich. You know what my son was doing for a long time? What his New Year's resolution like 2 years ago was to have more sandwiches.
Yes, yes.
I have never been more proud of him ever. Like, he could cure polio forever. And I would just be like, yeah, but that time that you said have more sandwiches, my heart grew 4 sizes that day. Oh. He was making a bread base, right? And then turkey, mm-hmm. pepperoni, mm-hmm. bread.
Well, yeah, because the turkey needs something.
But no mayonnaise, no cheese, nothing. Just bread, turkey, pepperoni, bread. That was his sandwich. And he loved it. He had it almost every day.
Oh, my kid does not like mayonnaise either. And I just don't understand. It's just so dry.
Yeah. So anyway, but he's getting on board with the mayonnaise in other sandwiches now. I mean, he's really branching out. Okay. So I'm proud of him.
All right.
So, so Chip's the worst. And it cuts, other things happen, cuts back. And Leslie says, look, we know you have an important other engagement. And Chip says, I got to get that haircut. Snip.
Snip.
So that's the other engagement. And Leslie's like, we really need you. This is for the entire region. Skip says, "Permission to speak, son," and points out like Pawnee is the gateway to the whole region. They buy a lot of albums, and Chip's like, "They ain't buying toothpaste, bunch of dirty hicks." And he's like, "Can I just go in one day and fly out so I don't have to spend the night in your crap town?" And then Leslie freaks out and is like, "Pawnee's a good town with good people from all walks of life. Plus, it's an amazing place to raise kids and start a family. You think about that." And Chip like freaks out. "I don't care. I can do whatever I want. And if I shoot a paintball gun at my dad, I'm going to do it." And he shoots a paintball gun at his dad because he has one in his studio. He's as professional.
As you do.
So Leslie's like, "This is over. We don't need you." And then it's like, "When I shook your hand earlier, there was pee on my palms." And it's like, "Oh, that makes us sound like hicks." so they leave, and Andy, is like, "Leslie, that was great. You were great. I thought you were going to punch that guy's lights out." And Leslie, like, "It was not good. We lost our headliner. I can't stop throwing up. Ben has not called me back yet." And we'll get to Ben in a moment. And she's like, "I'm so frazzled. There's a lot of things I can't talk to you about right now." And Andy's like, "Well, you know, Leslie, sometimes life throws us crazy curves. And yes, this moment may be the biggest curve." And as he's saying curve, he's like, he's doing a curve around his stomach area. And the bit you've ever had to deal with, but you and Ben can do anything. And I was like, "Wow, that's exactly what I needed to hear. I can't believe you knew I was pregnant before Ben does." And I was like, "Pregnant? Holy crap. I thought you were getting a dog." And she's like, "Why did you make this circle motion?" He's like, "You know, like it's on your lap. You're petting a dog."
Why did he think she was getting a dog?
I don't know. There's no reason for Andy to think in this whole episode that they were going to get a dog. But I mean, maybe that's how he felt before they brought home their three-legged dog champion. Like, this is a big decision. A lot of personal stuff going on. So he's like, "I can't wait. Let me tell you about my three-legged dog."
Champion.
Yeah. So, Andy though had that, like, Leslie's like, "We got to figure out what we're going to do with our headliner, and we're out of options." And so it's a Hail Mary. And so they go to the lead singer of Land Ho. They go to his house, and Leslie's like, "How are we going to convince to reunite Land Ho?" And Andy's response is the same way I got a perfect score on the SATs: broken Scantron machine. Which doesn't really apply to this situation.
It's so funny. It's so perfect.
Yep. Broken Scantron machine.
He's like, "I got this. Broken Scantron. Let's go, guys." I mean, Leroy Andy's Jenkins. Life, here we go.
Andy's life is basically just like falling into one thing after the next, and it generally works out for him. And it's so like, this is one more of those. And I think that's probably what he was trying to say. Like, I don't have a plan, but something's going to work out.
Exactly.
And so that's probably what he meant when he was saying the same way, is like dumb luck, but here we are. So Leslie's like, "This isn't a good strategy. I'll give him an explanation." And then, and then she throws up. And as they're knocking on the door, Scott Tanner comes out, Scott Tanner is played by Jeff Tweedy. And Jeremy, who is Jeff Tweedy?
Jeff Tweedy, lead singer of Wilco.
Yes, sir. Also the amalgamation of Jack Black and Peter Jackson.
It's true.
It looks like they made him in a lab of those two people. But that's just me. Every time I see him, I'm like, I just want him to like jump and do a kick, but then also talk about The Hobbit. That's it. That's all I want.
If Hobbits jumped and kicked, it looked like this.
It'd be so awesome. But, you know, you don't always get you on. You don't always get you on. They're out of hand. So what are you going to do? They're like, "Can we just have 10 minutes of your time?" And he's like, "To do what?" "To convince you to reunite Land Ho." And he's like, I'm going to tell you the exact same I've told everyone else. No. And so then Andy's like, but listen, I have something. And he's trying to unfurl like a scroll, but it's the poster for the Unity concert and it won't like stay down. And so he's like, hold the bottom down, hold down the bottom. And it's the sign for the Unity concert. So,
which small point of contention here, when they were at the back at the office and they were looking at the big board off to the side, or there was earlier in the show, there was a board with a bunch of like mock-ups for the Unity concert. I think that there was way better options, and that's the one they chose, like this weird watercolor splat on there. I wasn't a fan of that one. There were better ones. So go back and watch. You'll see.
All right.
There you go.
I'm glad that we have this forum for you to process that. I'm sorry they did that to you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Sorry, well, they're out of ham.
Out of ham.
So Scott, they go inside and Scott is like, this looks like it's going to be a great concert, but our band doesn't play anymore. And Les's like, well, I understand. Excuse me. My stomach's trying to murder me. And Scott's like, drunk from last night? I've been there. So, and Andy is like, look, I'm in a band. We still love you. My band covers your songs. And he starts playing one with the lyrics, catapult me into the sun and I'll burn, baby, burn. And Scott's like, classic. Oh yeah, great song. And then a child appears, Scott's son, and he recognizes that Andy is Johnny Karate. Scott's like, I thought your name was Andy. He's like, well, awesome. I'm also a children's performer. This sounds like he played at Joey's birthday and he was awesome. Sing Karate Chop Master. And Andy's like, he's holding Scott's guitar and he's like, mm-hmm. I'll sing if your dad sings along. And so he tries to like, he's like, it's easy. You'll pick it up. And so he starts singing and he's like, all right, you sing too. And Scott is getting it wrong. And he just looks at him like, no.
Just chop, 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 kick, 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 chop, chop, kick, chop, chop, kick, chop.
Yeah.
No, and then no.
He's
wrong.
Not getting it right. And then he starts to harmonize and he's like, oh, this is so great. And then he does it wrong. And he's like, no. It's not you. Just listen.
And just the massive amount of success that Jeff Tweedy has had, like, just, yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah. It's like no.
You're trying to tell this icon of music that he is wrong.
Yeah. It's so funny. Yeah. But, you know, artists are a way. They are a way. So we'll leave Leslie and Andy there. They seem to have done a miracle. We don't know for sure what's going to happen with Land Ho, but we will find out. So then go back to the office earlier that day. Tom is explaining his plan to go to a local vineyard where they're doing some sommelier certification, and he's going to try to hire one for his restaurant, Tom's Bistro, because he loves people that convince other people to buy expensive stuff they don't need. Those are the real heroes. And mm-hmm. So he was going to bring Donna and April. And then, you know, Craig wants to go because he loves wine and everything about it. The soil, the vines. I said I'd bought me at 3 years at Purdue University. Go Boilermakers! I love Ron. I love Craig so much. Ron so wants good. To go because there will be alcohol there. And then Ben mm-hmm. doesn't have any more work to do. So he's going. And Tom is like, I didn't invite any of you. I started with cool people and now I got some grandpas. Please don't embarrass me. And Ben's like, why, how would we embarrass you? You're already doing it. I begged you. So Tom meets with Xander Mamander, which is a terrible thing to say. Xander is like the top guy here. He's trying to bring him into the Tom's Bistro universe. And Donna is impressed by his tie. And I mean, he's just a handsome, like, perfect candidate. Like, he knows his stuff and everybody's mm-hmm. going to be going after him. So Xander is going to go prepare by pouring saline solution down his nose to clear the mucus from his smell centers. And Tom's about to cry. And then April is like, man, it costs $200 to get certified. I want to make fun of stupid people while I drink. It's my two passions. And Donna pays for her to enter into the certification process. And then Craig also wants to be in. And I love how Craig is like, I want into, I know to look the part, but I know everything about wine and I'll prove it. My name is Craig Middlebrooks and this is my debit rewards card. I love him so much. So then it cuts to them doing the tasting and Craig is like pumpkin undertones of lavender, medium plus body, but mostly pumpkin. There's so much pumpkin. It's like a Charlie Brown Halloween special. And April, like, I'm getting notes of dried robin's blood, old dirty cashews, just a hint of a robot's bathwater. And then Xander is like, an old wine, Italian. It's a Verdicchio Doc Classico, 2010. Craig, it's a new world, Northern Valley, Napa Valley, someplace beautiful and warm and amazing where everyone is in great shape and the night is full of stars. And April, this comes from your mother's butt. It's going great. It's going great.
Perfect.
So then Xander talks with Tom and is like, hey, let me introduce you to Terrence Montreux. He's a restaurateur like yourself. And Tom's like, oh, you own a restaurant? He's like, no, I own 12. And he's like, I'm here to find the best sommelier as soon as they are, how you say, certified. So I'm like, that was certified. My idea. And Terrence points out that that's everybody's idea. That's what why we have this how do you say thing. Don't act like you don't know what the word thing is. And then they're doing a pairing for meals and Craig is sitting down, like the people are sitting down like, oh, with a filet I'd recommend a red, something bold and dry like David Sedaris, and the person, the judge, is like, could you recommend a Riesling instead? Craig's response is, not if you're eating steak, you loon.
He's so offended.
And then April is highlighting the wine. And, you know, in the movies when the cops show up and they find lipstick on a wine glass next to a dead body, this is that wine. Oh, so good. So good.
It's like murder. Yeah. And intrigue.
Oh, where'd I go? Okay. And then, so the judging is done. The head judge says only one person deemed himself worthy of a sommelier certificate. And mm-hmm. April gets up going, oh, is it me? Are you sure? Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. I think we can all agree wine tastes the same. And if you spend more than $5 on wine, you are very stupid. And then they escort her out. But as she's going out, she wants to thank Norbit, Pluto Nash, all the clumps. Do you recognize the common theme of Axel, all of those people?
Axel, what's his last name?
Foley.
Foley, Axel Foley.
Eddie Murphy movies.
Raw.
Yep, Raw. I want to thank Raw.
Yeah, it's all Eddie Murphy characters.
Yeah, which I think is just a great, great note of just random thanking Eddie Murphy characters for some reason. I don't know.
Donkey.
Yeah, donkey. Right. So then they point out that Xander won. And so Tom's like, I need to go talk to Xander before Terrence gets him. Donna, just cover me. And so Donna then spills wine on Terrence. And then they have a conversation in French where it sounds like, what did you do? And she says, I'm sorry, sir. And then allons-y, allons-y, which I know means let's go. From Doctor Who. David Tennant would say that. That's how I know that. So Tom gets one-on-one time with Xander's like, look, I will double pay whatever Monsieur Montreux offered you. And Xander's like, you'll pay me $500,000 a year? I will pay you one-tenth of whatever he's paying you. So Xander's not going to go to Tom's bistro. So they get back to the office and Craig is like, well, good night, everybody. I'm just going to go home and feel totally fine. And who am I kidding? I'm going to go home and put on a Macy Gray album and cry in the mirror. And they're like, why are you so sad? He's like, I want that job at Tom's Bistro. And I've been trying to show you that for the last 5 hours. And Tom's like, look, you know your stuff, but you're a crazy volcano. You got to show me you can bring it down a notch. And he says, I'll bring it down 1,000 notches if I have to. and yells it at them. It's so great. I love Craig so much. And so they have a tasting here, and Craig is like, "Good evening. May I sit you in your with your wine tonight?" And Tom's like, "Yeah, I'm having fish, so maybe a full bodied red."
Mm-mm. You do not do that.
Yeah. Sorry, I have a sneeze. Right around 40 minutes. I got to edit that out.
It's spring season.
Well, yeah. All right. So, yeah, you don't pair fish with red, but you know, they're trying to give him a test, and and so Don was like, "You got to do this and bring me some ice cubes. I like ice cubes in my red wine." And you could see Craig is just like boiling on the inside. And April says, "I'd like a glass of your most expensive red mixed with your cheapest white, served in a dog bowl and silly straws all around, please." And so Craig goes off to make his recommendations, and Tom's like, "All right," he seems to be keeping it together. And as he closes the door, he yells out, "What kind of monster orders red with fish? Show some decency." And so he comes back out composed. He's like, "For you, sir, a light crisp Pinot with just a hint of lemon to bring out the flavors of fish. And for you, Donna, a bold Cabernet, which will still taste okay when watered down. And for you, madam, would you consider this rosé? It's halfway between red and white." And they're like, "Oh, wow, this is great. Thank you." And he's like, Tom says, I think I found my new sommelier. And he nods and walks away calmly, closes the door. She's like, "That was so embarrassing." So, and they just, yeah.
I love that scene so much because, I mean, it's self-explanatory, but he paired everything, as wrong as it was. He did a great job. Like, he really does know his stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I'm Team Craig, man.
Team Craigery. So while they are at the event, Ben gets a phone call from his dad, and he's like, which is played by Mike from Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad. And he's like, "Why didn't you just run it by me first, Dad?" And he's so upset, and he hangs up and looks at Ron's like, "Sorry, it was weird family business." And I was like, "Sorry, sounds private. No need to discuss it with me." And Ben explains that his parents have this vacation house, and now they've sold it without telling anybody, any of the family. And Ron's like, "Did you not hear what I said? You don't need to talk to me about it." And then he's like, "Ben, my dad sent me this check, my share of the profits. It's so disrespectful to the family structure." And Ron's like, "Maybe drinking will help. You put some alcohol in your mouth so words won't come out." And somebody comes up, is like, "Blueberry wine. We make it here in the vineyard." And I love Ron's response. "I don't drink alcohol from that portion of the color spectrum." And then Ben looks at it, he's like, "Whoa, that's actually really strong. There's a lot of alcohol in here." He's like, "We'll take four bottles then." So they then go outside, and they're walking around, and Ben's so mad. He's like, "I wanted the house for Columbus Day weekend." They both wanted the house for Columbus Day weekend, and they fought so much they decided to sell it just to spite each other. And Ron is again, "More wine, less talking." And Ben, "You know, you're a wonderful guy, but you're a terrible person to discuss personal problems with." And Ron is like, "Thank you. That means a lot." And then this is where, you know, Andy and Leslie are at Chip's studio, and Leslie's like, "I need to call Ben for a minute." This is where it picks up, as Ben is walking. They're walking in the vineyard, and he's like, "They just make me so mad sometimes. Like, they couldn't decide who gets the dog, so they just dropped it off at the local synagogue." I was like, "Say what?" so good. And then his phone rings, and he's like, "Hold up, I got to take this." And he gets the phone, and it's Leslie. It's me. It's wife. Leslie's frazzled because she's got news that she wants to share with Ben, and Ben is drunk. She's like, "I've got big news for you." And Ben's, "Oh, well, my teeth are blue. Are you having a stroke?" He's like, "I was just saying to Ron that my dog's Jewish." My dog's Jewish. And then he drops his phone in the water, and he's like, "Oh, phone water." And so they're cut off. And he picks it up. He's trying to talk. He's like, "It's dead." And Ben's like, "You know what? Leslie sounded weird. I don't want to wait for Tom. I want to walk home. And Ron's like, I'll join you. I could use a walk, a brisk walk. And if I left you alone, you will die. I'm like, home is that way. And so he starts to try to climb a fence. And he's like having a real hard time getting over the fence. Watch out for the fence. Drunk Ben is so excellent. So as they're walking, they're on the road now and it's dark. And Ben is like, oh, man, this bottle is out of wine. And then out of nowhere, Ron Dunn from Eagleton comes out of the woods. And is like, hello, what brings you out here this fine evening? And Ron Swanson is very upset. and Ben's like, where'd you come from? And Ron's response is, that is a complicated question. All depends on whether your conception of time is linear or circular.
What?
And I love Ben's response because, like, Ron, it like says, hello, Ron. And Ben's just like, you know this hobo? And Ron's like, he was my counterpart at Eagleton. And Ben's like, wow, are you a ghost? And Ron's like, am I?
So what good. Is happening right now?
So then they make a fire. And they're sitting around a fire, and Ben's like, "Mr. Ron Dunn, I have something I'm very angry about, but other Ron, he's not helping me with it. Can you help?" Ron's like, "I see that through the indigo on your chiclet that you've been drinking the blueberry wine. That's a good start." and the Wamapo called it Matapiqua. They believe it had mystical powers. And Ben's response is so great. Yeah, it also tastes like jelly. So then he explains what's going on with the selling of the house. And he's like, so I was like, why? You know, I'm like, God, you guys. And so Ron's like, I see your anger. Let's role play. And so they walk through it. And Ron's like, that was great. You're surrendering. As Craig is yelling, this is the edit here. As Craig is yelling in the sound in the office, it cuts to Ben then yelling by the fireplace and Ron saying, that was beautiful. You're surrendering to the earth mother. And Ron so Swanson is just dying in all of this. And so Ron says, Ron Dunn is like, no, stare into the fire and picture your spirit animal. He's like, I don't know what it is. It's like, well, because it doesn't exist. It's nonsense because you're an adult. And Ron Dunn just points at him, baby snow owl. He's right.
Ben's just blown away. That's it.
And so Ron talks about spirit animals and the connection to the natural world. He stands up and a hawk lands on his shoulder, on his arm. He's like, welcome back, old friend. And so Ron's like, you got to cleanse that anger and just send that check into the flames and let it go up into the air with your screams. And Ron Swanson's like, don't do that. That's an actual check. It's money. And Ben's like, no, he's right. And he puts it in there. And then he goes and hugs Dunn. And he's like, come here, baby snow owl. You're safe now. So transition to driving home in Ron Dunn's smart car. And all three of them are in this tiny little car. You don't know yet because it's a profile shot of the car. Uh-huh. And then Ron's like, this is him right here. And then it cuts to the front of the car. And Ben is like cuddled up on Swanson in the middle of the car. He's like, well, get out here. I'll walk the rest of the way. And Ron's like, you sure? This runs on vegetable oil and bat guano. It cleans the air as it drives. And Swanson's like, I'm quite sure. Thank you. Ron Dunn's like, you are already emerged from the cocoon, Ben. Now the question is, will you fly? And Dunn drives away. And Ben's like, man, I don't feel any better. I'm still angry. And Ron is like, well, you know, sorry we couldn't help you work through your problems. Now, excuse me, I got a lady, two girls, and an infant waiting for me. It's always nice to see the kids at the end of a long day. Really puts things in perspective. And Ben has an epiphany moment where he's like, ah, that's what it's all about. And so he goes inside, and Leslie's there, excited to tell him they got Land Ho to play the Unity concert. Huzzah! And Ben's like, you know what? That's great, but it doesn't matter. I thought I was upset because my parents are insane, but the real reason is the house that I wanted to make memories with my kids in, that's going to go away. And I want to start our family. And I know there's no good time but I want to now. And Leslie's like, well, I got some good news for you. Credits over. Episode's done. Great episode. I love this episode.
Yeah, I agree. So, it was really well written. How they diverged, came back together.
Megan
and how their storylines complemented. Yeah. What's that?
Megan Amram is the writer with Greg Scher and Greg Daniels and Michael Scher, but Megan Amram. She is so funny. So, yeah. All in all, solid episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you got to know a little bit about Tom's Bistro. You know, this isn't a total standalone. It's a standalone episode in the Parks universe, but I feel like, you know, not knowing about Ben and Leslie's relationship and some other things, but I definitely think you could drop into this one if you wanted to, because Tom does a pretty good job of explaining that he's a restaurateur and, you know, so, and we just know that, you know, you just like, oh, who's this crazy April lady? And so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Ron yeah, the convergence of Ron's is a great thing.
Yes,
yeah, so I love
Ron's,
it
Ron zone
the Ron zone, yes, the Ron Swanson Ron zone. All right, yeah, all in all, good. Next week, Jeremy, we are going to be looking at 1 in 8,000, and this is some news about the pregnancy. And yeah, it's going to be a super fun time.
I'm for it. I am already looking forward to next week. We only have 3 episodes left in this season.
I know. Can you believe it?
I can't. Well,
we get to meet the Bobby Knight Rangers. Oh man, not next week, but in the few weeks. Next
week after. Yeah.
It was referenced a couple weeks ago. But now we get to actually see it. So it's going to be great. All right. Well, Jeremy, right. I have to go.
Well, how do you say goodbye?